Hey, good afternoon, everybody. This is Mike Tomasulo. I am the co-chair of Winston and Strawn's dedicated sub-practice group to video games, esports, and gaming in general. Right now, we're talking with Tyler McGaughey, a new partner here at Winston and Strawn who works in CFIUS, and Alex Kontopoulos, an associate who's a member of our video game group. And they're going to be talking about what is CFIUS and why should video game companies care about it. I'm going to let them take it away.
Thank you for that introduction, Mike, and thank you, Tyler, for taking the time to speak with us today. We're very excited to have your expertise in CFIUS at the firm. To kick this conversation off, I was hoping you could give me a brief overview on what CFIUS is and why video game companies should be concerned about it.
Sure thing. Thanks, Alex. I appreciate you taking the time today. Happy to be here. So CFIUS is the Committee on Foreign Investment in the United States. It's a U.S. government interagency committee that reviews foreign investments in U.S. companies for national security risks. And the reason video game companies need to be concerned is that video game companies have massive amounts of data on U.S. citizens. And CFIUS is increasingly taking the position that if large amounts of data get into the hands of strategic competitors, that it could have national security consequences. And so essentially, CFIUS is trying to protect U.S. companies that have large amounts of data from being put in a position where foreign acquirers could essentially get access to that data. And so video game companies need to be concerned if they are going to solicit investment from foreign investors. Or I guess if you're a foreign investor and you want to invest in a U.S. video game company, you need to be concerned as well.
That's very interesting. Let's get a little deeper on some of that. How does CFIUS function in practice? What's that process like?
Sure. So just to add a little bit more meat on the bones about what it is, there are 9 voting members of CFIUS. It's the Department of Treasury, the Department of Energy, the Department of Justice, Homeland Security, State, DOD, Commerce, and then OSTP, which is the Office of Science and Technology Policy at the White House, and USTR, which is the United States Trade Representative. So they all essentially have a seat at the CFIUS table and can vote on cases, and Treasury is the chair of that committee. And the way it sort of works practically is that a CFIUS case starts when the transaction parties notify a transaction to the committee. They submit a filing saying, hey, we've either just done this transaction or we want to do a transaction. We'd like CFIUS to review it and let us know if this is okay. And so most CFIUS filings are voluntary. There's now a few types of transactions that are mandatory, and that may raise the question to folks about why anybody would voluntarily go through the process. And the answer is that once you get a safe harbor letter from CFIUS, it's good for forever. Conversely, if you don't get a safe harbor letter from CFIUS, they can always go back and look at your transaction. And so, you know, if there's a transaction that you're doing today that doesn't look like it's going to have national security consequences, who knows what that transaction will look like in 5 years. And so if you think you can get through the committee now, it makes a lot of good sense to notify your transaction to the committee and get your safe harbor letter. So anyway, it starts when a filing is made to the committee, and then the committee does essentially due diligence, and that takes a lot of different forms. Treasury's Office of General Counsel, the lawyers, will draft what's called a CTA, a covered transaction analysis, where they analyze whether CFIUS does or does not have jurisdiction. At the same time, the intelligence community will put together what's called a national security threat assessment, which is an intelligence community report about the transaction, bringing to bear all of the classified information that the U.S. government has about the acquirer. And then the case officers who work at CFIUS will do what we call QA, question and answer. It's how CFIUS does its own discovery. It sends questions to the parties, and by law, they're required to respond and obviously give us accurate information. And there's no limit on the number of questions we can ask or the amount, the number of times that we can ask questions. So a lot of times in cases, CFIUS is asking questions up until the very end. So the committee does due diligence. Every Tuesday, the committee meets in a conference room in a SCIF, a classified or a secure area inside the Treasury building, and they go over the cases that are, quote, on the clock and discuss them to see whether or not we think there's going to be an issue or not. CFIUS generally has up to 90 days to do its due diligence, and at the end of that 90-day period, they can do one of 3 things. They can either clear the case and give the parties a safe harbor letter. they can say, you know, we think there's some risk here, but we think we can mitigate it. So we'd like you to enter into a contract with us where you agree to do certain things, and then we'll approve your transaction. And in some cases, if there's just a significant risk that the committee doesn't think can be mitigated, that the transaction will be referred to the president with a recommendation to block. And for a long time, blocks were pretty rare. CFIUS got the authority to block in 1988. And I think the first one was done by George H.W. Bush in 1990. And then President Clinton didn't block any transactions. President George W. Bush didn't block any transactions. So the second ever transaction that was blocked by President Obama. He blocked two, and then President Trump blocked four.
In the history of CFIUS, there have only been 7 presidential blocks.
Yeah, it sounds like in recent years there's been an uptick in those block cases. So with the stakes being so high, potentially having the transaction blocked, how would a video game company determine whether or not their transaction is even subject to CFIUS in the first place?
Sure. So CFIUS looks at equity investments, doesn't look at debt investments. And so it looks at equity investments where a foreign acquirer will obtain control over a U.S. business, or it'll obtain what are called covered investment rights, non-controlling but non-passive rights. So basically, we're looking at any transaction where on the buy side, there is a foreign acquirer or a foreign company or foreign person, foreign national. On the sell side, there is a U.S. business, and the foreign person is going to acquire control rights or other non-passive rights.
With the threat of blocks looming, is there any kind of foreign actors or investors that would trigger a heightened scrutiny or a more searching analysis during CFIUS review?
So there's no such thing as heightened scrutiny in CFIUS. Every transaction is reviewed on a case-by-case basis. Committee, and particularly Treasury as the chair, tries very hard to make sure that no one applies presumption. There's no presumptions in the statute or the regulations. And I think that, you know, there's a view, at least within Treasury and maybe to some extent the larger committee, that the private sector is a little bit too focused on the threat side of the equation and not necessarily on the vulnerability side of the equation, which is to say that if there is a U.S. video game company and it has a significant amount of data on U.S. citizens, it really doesn't matter who the foreign acquirer is. CFIUS is going to want to take a hard look at that. The issue is going to be protecting U.S. citizens' data. And if you've got a lot of it, they're going to want to see, review the transaction. That being said, there are publicly reported accounts of certain strategic competitors engaging in kind of hacking operations specifically to get data on U.S. citizens. And if a foreign acquirer is from one of those countries, at the end of the day, it's just going to be a little bit harder for that company to get through the CFIUS process. And that may seem a little unfair, and to some extent it may be, because the foreign company may have had nothing to do with the hacking operation. It may have very little association with its government, but CFIUS just can't ignore recent past precedent. And if you have your company and your foreign government is hacking U.S. citizens' data, they're going to be a little bit more concerned with your investment than they are.
So it seems like, aside from that list of hackers, a majority of CFIUS review is focused on the vulnerabilities that would exist in a video game company or arise from their transaction. What kinds of steps can those companies take to sort of mitigate their vulnerability and make approval from CFIUS more likely?
So mitigation agreements vary from case to case. They're very fact dependent, but there are certain kind of themes, I think, or patterns that are consistent across the board. Typically, if it's a data case and CFIUS identifies a risk, they're going to want to see a mitigation agreement that has certain features. Like they're going to want the U.S. user data to be stored on servers in the United States. They're going to want to create a firewall between the foreign acquirer and the U.S. business. So the foreign acquirer isn't going to be allowed to access the data, and the U.S. business isn't going to be allowed to transmit the data to the foreign acquirer. I've seen mitigation agreements where there's a big concern about the cybersecurity protocols and making sure that the U.S. business has good cybersecurity protections. And then I've also seen agreements where the U.S. business has to agree that any source code that gets developed has to be developed either in the United States or someplace that's pre-approved by CFIUS. So that's what like mitigation agreements typically look like. And so if you're going through the process, you sort of want to try to take care of as much of that as possible on the front end. So you want to prove to CFIUS that you're sort of a hard target. If you're not doing it already, you should try to store your data in the United States. If you're not doing it already, you should have good cybersecurity protections in place. If you're not doing it already, you should have a really good idea of who can access U.S. user data and how it can be accessed. So you can kind of prove to CFIUS in the CFIUS process that we know where our data is stored. We know who has access to it. We know how they access it. And so therefore, we can protect it by doing A, B, C, and D. And so, you know, you have to essentially go through the CFIUS process with a mindset that the burden is on you to prove that the data in your video game company in the U.S. is secure, and it doesn't really matter who invests in your company, you're going to be able to protect it.
Those are some interesting points. And it seems fair to say that the video game companies involved in raising foreign capital should keep an eye out for CFIUS. If you had to summarize two or three common transactions or arrangements in the video game industry which should be particularly attentive to CFIUS, what would those be?
Video game companies that should be concerned about CFIUS, particularly in the U.S., are the ones that are looking to raise capital, and in particular, raise capital from foreign investors, or are looking to do kind of business in foreign countries via joint ventures. If you're kind of in that category, then CFIUS is something that should be on your radar. If you're a foreign company, either a foreign video game company, or you're a foreign investor and you're looking to invest in the United States, and one of the sectors you want to invest in is video games, then you definitely need to be concerned about CFIUS. CFIUS is sort of a cross-border regulatory body. So you need a transaction, and it needs to involve somebody from outside the United States and somebody inside the United States. So if you have that, then you may be in the ballpark of CFIUS.
Excellent. And thank you again, Tyler, for taking the time today to share your CFIUS expertise with all of us.
Happy to be here.
Really fascinating stuff, guys. Thanks for putting this together.